So we know that Jesus came once as a baby. He lived his life serving and sacrificing and blessing the lives of others. And then when he left, he says, I'm going to come back the same way you saw me go. He's going to just come on a cloud and disappear one day. And so we're waiting for that day to come. Don't know when it's going to happen, but while we're waiting, we're going to be serving God and bringing people hopefully into the family of God so they're ready too when Christ comes again. So it's going to be a glorious day. And in the meantime, we're going to be doing some things in the coming year to do what God has called us all to do, right? Okay, good. So two people said yes, beautiful. So that's enough. All right, so, and today I'm going to kind of look at some areas where all of us need to begin a crosswalk. You know, what I want to say about that is this. When you cross a street, you have to stay in the crosswalk, right? Because it's safer that way, isn't it? That way, you know, you get those parameters around you, and you know you're safe within that zone. So the cross that we walk with is Jesus Christ. That's the cross that we follow through all of our lives, right? So you're going to stay in that presence of God, in the direction that God puts us into. And we don't know what 2021 is going to hold in store for us, but if we stay within God's presence and God leads us and God guides us, what will happen is we'll be able to cross through life and let God be the one that leads and guides and directs us. So we're all good for that, correct? Awesome. All right, so you know who you're going to follow in the coming year ahead. Where are you headed? Wherever God leads you, right? That's where you do. You just follow the leader in that respect. And it brings me to the book of Joshua this morning because the Israelites, they had two crossovers, if you will. Remember, they crossed out of Egypt into, they went across the Red Sea, and then they went into the wilderness, and then they stayed there for 40 years because they weren't quite sure about going all the way into the promised land. They just didn't quite understand, even though Joshua and Caleb had gone to them and showed them what was in that promised land, the people there just didn't have enough faith or trust, so they stayed in the wilderness. So I don't know about you, but do you kind of sometimes feel like you're having a wilderness experience once in a while in life? Like all of 2020 might be what we would call a wilderness experience, and we're waiting to get out of this into the next place, aren't we? We want out of here into something new and different and better, don't we? Yes. But there's some things that we have to do to prepare to get there. You can't just overnight get from point A to point B. And we see that particularly in the book of Joshua. And so in Joshua chapter 2, the last verse of verse 24 says this, "The Lord will certainly give us the whole land, for all the people in the land are terrified of us." So here's the thing. Are you sometimes terrified of things that are in your future? You don't quite know where the future holds. And sometimes you think that the things that scare us are more powerful than you, and therefore you can't move into that new place in your life. Anybody ever feel that way once in a while? You don't know what the future holds. So even though God tried to show you a glimpse of it, you kind of stay, you know, where you are in your comfort zone. But here's what the scriptures tell us, that God will certainly lead us to that promised land. He will certainly do it. And the people there, the things there, it's not just people, but anything you're afraid of in your future is afraid of you. Isn't that good to know? Isn't it good to know that the things you're scared of are scared of you? Why are they scared of you? Because God is within you, right? Because God is the one that is going to lead and guide you and get you there and overcome everything that you're afraid of. No matter what you're afraid of, and all of us are afraid of different things, especially the unknown future. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future, don't we? Right? So God is not going to call us to something in the future that, and just have those fears in front of your face, be the barriers between you and that thing. He's going to make a way for you to get to the future, right? He's already made a path, right? It's called the cross. We have a future hope in heaven as well. The cross is the way that we get there. Jesus is the way to the future, whatever the future holds. So that verse is something we want to hold on to this morning. So whatever we're going to go into this 2021 as it comes upon us, or we enter into it just because the calendar is going to change, one of the things that we have to know is this. God will certainly give us the whole land, the whole blessing, the whole enchilada, the whole life, complete life. God will give it to us. He wants to. And whatever terrifies you is terrified of you. So you don't have to be afraid of anything, do you, if you're walking with Christ? Do you? No, of course not. Beautiful. All right. So, chapter 3. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. So they camped out before they're going to cross the Jordan. 3 days later, the Israelite leaders went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. Why? Because they're getting ready to cross over, right? They're ready to go across into this new land where God's going to give them the whole land. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, follow them. Well, first of all, what's the Ark of the Covenant? Well, we know that it's essentially a big box, and it has a gold seat on it and cherubim on each side. Within that box is actually the Ten Commandments. So that's what's in there, as well as the daily manna. There's a jar of manna. And then there's also Aaron's staff that's in that box. And on the box is the mercy seat where God's presence would come. So if we're going to follow something, here's why God uses those three things. First and foremost, obviously, we know that God is going to be ahead of us on the seat, the mercy seat. It's a forgiveness seat. So you can always follow God knowing that God is always going to be merciful to you. But also inside of that are the Ten Commandments that you're supposed to follow, correct? We know the Ten Commandments. We follow them every day, correct? You know what they are, so that's what you're going to follow. And then the staff that was in there was something that Aaron used to perform miracles upon miracles. Sometimes they needed food. It was similar to the staff that Moses had carried. It was a shepherd's staff, but they threw it into the water. Remember when the water was bitter and it became sweet? Water came out of a rock one time. Aaron used this very same staff to bring almonds to feed the people. So it was also something that was representative of the miracles of God inside of that Ark of the Covenant. So the Levitican priests, what they would then do is one would be on the front and one would be in the back, or there could be four of them. Doesn't say in Scripture. But they would hold up this Ark because it was heavy because of the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. And then the manna that was in there was a reminder to everyone that God will take care of us, give us daily bread. Every day God provides daily bread for us. That's what the manna represents inside of that. And God continues to perform miracles. And above that is the mercy seat, that even when you don't quite follow along in the right way, you still have God's mercy and forgiveness. And Jesus Christ in the New Testament, he sits on the mercy seat. And when we get to heaven, we have that forgiveness of sins because of what he did on the cross. Just to kind of put the Old and the New Testament together for you. So here's what's going to transpire. So he says, when you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. So see, every year, we travel a different road that we've never been on before. Example 2020. So some of us have been close to things like this, but nothing like this. Our future is something all the time that we've never traveled before. There's never going to be another day like today next year. There just isn't. Every day is unique to God. Isn't that good news? For some of you. Yes, okay. Some of you say so. Stay about a half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Now, the reason for this is there are probably anywhere from 3 to 6 5,000 people that were going to follow this ark. So just think about this. If there's a huge crowd going behind the ark, if you were in the back, you couldn't see the ark if it's held on somebody's shoulders, correct? So God wanted to make sure that the people that were way in the back of the line, those of us that are under tall, would be able to see that ark ahead of us. So God made enough space between all the people and the saying, look, make room for other people so they can see their way forward too. So see, God doesn't want any of us blocking the way for somebody getting to God. Do you understand that? No one has the right to keep another person away from God ever. And we want to make room. We want to like open the way so that people can see their way clear so that they can follow God. Especially when they're looking at the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the mercy seat especially. So that's why the special instructions. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. The word purify is a similar word to consecrate, sanctify. It basically means to prepare your heart, your mind, and yourself to clean everything out of you that is impure. So that would be some of the things, the habits, the sins, whatever it was, the leaven, as they did in the book of Exodus when they were going to leave. They could not have any leaven, any yeast in the dough. So that's leaven is also what we would consider sin or faults or flaws that we have. We have to get rid of some things before we enter into this new place, right? What some of the things we need to get rid of are self-doubt, perhaps, fear, worry, competition, anything that would keep any one of us essentially trying to keep somebody else from getting where they need to be near God. And some of the things that would block us between us and God. If you're holding a grudge, for example, there's the mercy seat, right? You have to go to that mercy seat and forgive others, including yourself, as well as the fact you can't carry a grudge when you're walking across the Jordan as well. It's gonna sink you big time. It's going to be a weight on you. So you prepare yourself, you dedicate yourself, you remove things out of your life, and you know, as this year comes to an end, each and every one of us need to take a personal inventory of some of the things about us that perhaps interfere with our walk with God, as well as how we might treat other people. It's okay to do that, to look at that and say, okay, that's got to go, that's got to go, that's got to go, that's got to go, that's got to go. Those are the kind of things that got to go. You can't take them into a new life. You can't, you know, you can't take old stuff, old patterns, old beliefs, old ways of doing things. We can't keep doing the same thing over and over and over expecting a better, good result, can we? We've got to let some things go out of our mind, especially. We truly do. And then that's what's going to transpire. So that's going to take 3 days to do that. So see, we have today, and you have New Year's Eve, which will be the 31st. So guess what? You have 3 full days to clean house. And yeah, maybe some of you, there might be some old things that you hang on to that, you know, beliefs that you might have, limiting beliefs particularly about who you are, why you don't deserve this, or you're not worthy, or whatever, whatever, whatever. It's time to let those things go. They can't go into a new life. They're just going to muck it up big time. Purify yourselves. Tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. In the morning, Joshua said to the priest, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out. The Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you great in the eyes of the Israelites. Now that they will know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. Give these instructions to the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop. Wait a minute, I thought we were crossing the Jordan. I'm going to step into the water and stop. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Gezerites, Amorites, and Jebusites, and all kinds of otherites that you might have in your life. Criticismites, judgmentites, unworthyites, angerites. I want everything to say the sameites. Think of it. The Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth. When their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and then the river will pile up there in one heap. Here's the thing about what was happening with the Jordan River at this specific time, by the way. It was actually harvest time. And in fact, the river was, it was actually more, instead of being a calm river, it was actually moving quite quickly. Studies show that it was actually possibly going as much as 40 miles an hour of the, as far as the current was concerned. It was as deep as 3 to 12 feet. How'd you like to cross that river at this time of year? When the people set out to cross the Jordan, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now it was harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. Guess what? This is not going to be an easy walkover, is it? See, here's the thing. The scriptures always show us there's always going to be difficulty in life. There's always going to be things that are going to be in our way, barriers that are between us and the place we're trying to be. Or trying to go, or trying to change, or where we're trying to go for our dreams. And, you know, these Israelites had waited 40 years to get to the other side. And see, the problem is it's not just easy. God was not going to use a helicopter to pick each person up and go, boop, you're on the other side. Boop, there you go. So easy to just go over. Now, we want instantaneous change, don't we? We want microwave, you know, spirituality. Make me a great person, God, today, right now. Or get me to the place I want to be in the future. Get me to the place where I want things to be better and different. Instantaneously is the way we want it. But see, what did the scriptures show us? The scriptures show us that there are sometimes impossible things that we have to cross, that we have to get over, that we have to go through in order to get to the other side. And in this particular case, it was actually getting worse before it got better, because it was harvest time, the banks were overflowing, and just imagine being that kind of priest, right? I mean, I like the kind of ministry where I walk in and go, everybody's getting along, it's wonderful, everything's going great, oh, cool, we're all things are wonderful. And God, change this and change that and make it happen right now. Easy, right? Don't we humans want things the easy, least path of resistance way, if we're honest? The problem with that is this. Who are we relying on when we do that? Because can't you do the easy things? Most of us can. Most of us have the power within us to change some parts of us very easily. The easy parts we can do. It's the hard, difficult, impossible things. The impossible things that are greater than us, that are seem way out here that we think we might could never even have. Those are the things worth going after, but it's going to take you and me and God for that to happen. So God kind of shows this to these Israelites. You're going to need me in the future to get across the place you're trying to go from point A to point B. The Jordan was overflowing its banks, but as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water's edge, the water began piling up at a town upstream called Adam. Adam? I remember Adam. I remember that town. Which was near Zarethan. Wow, God knows things from A to Z. How about that? So he put it, he took care of A to Z, got it out of the way, put the water out of their way, all the way back to the time of Adam, and all the way forward to the Z's of our life, when we're asleep in our death, and then we rise again, right? So he takes and puts that water there. And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. So get the picture. Water's going this way, and it's going that way. All that 12 foot of water, all that overflowing banks, as soon as the priests stepped in, not by themselves, right? What were they holding? The Ark of the Covenant. They were holding the mercy seat. And for us in the New Testament, we're holding the cross to say, this is what you're going to walk over and walk on, that's going to part everything that's in your way, the barriers that are before you, anything that's impeding your progress forward. God is going to use the cross of Christ to open up our path into paradise, into heavenly eternal life in the future. But also, we follow Christ in front of us through all the days of our life, going in 2021 especially, but beginning now. You follow Christ, you keep your eyes on him, you fix your eyes on Jesus, and guess what happened? He's a priest that's on the mercy seat. He's no longer being carried on that, but he's actually walking across into your future. Now, if you ever lose sight of Christ, what's going to happen? You're going to fall overboard and run into a problem. So you have to stay in your cross walk. Jesus said we're to carry our cross daily. Why? To get rid of the self and to hold on to him and to follow him into the future. So when those priests stepped in the water with the Ark of the Covenant with mercy, it just split apart that Jordan River just as it split apart the Red Sea. This was now an Exodus, and the Hebrew people, which Hebrew, by the way, means cross over. That's what that word means. They crossed over not only the Red Sea, but now the Jordan. Listen, all of us are going to continue to cross over many, many bridges in all of our lives, are we not? Say it again. We're going to cross over where we've been in on your life's journey. All of us are crossing over something, some kind of something in all of our lives. And all as we try to cross into a place of poverty or a place of doubt, a place of fear, a place of worry, a place of anguish, a place of anxiety, when we want to cross out of that, we've got to keep our eyes on the cross of Jesus Christ. He's the beginner and the ender of our faith. He goes from A to Z, the Alpha and the Omega, right? That's who you keep your eyes on. You cannot cross over this life from one to the next, whatever that next life is, without keeping your eyes on the cross and on Jesus leading you. If you try to go through this life alone, you're going to step in the water and it ain't moving. It's still going to be overflowing. It's still going to be something you can't cross over. But if you look ahead of you, and the leaders, often what we're here to call you to do and be is to just simply say, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the cross and what it means. Keep your eyes on understanding that there's mercy and love and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And he wants to lead you to a better, more abundant life. Are there going to be some obstacles along the way? One of our biggest obstacles very often is ourselves, is it not? So that's why we have to crucify self, and we have to say, okay, I need you, God, to open up the path and open up this way for me. Those Israelites and people like you and me, the only way we can conquer anything that's in our life and move from point A to point B, which is, I believe, glory to glory, better and better, spiritual growth, is definitely to keep your eyes on Christ, to follow him, to allow God to be God in your life. See, God can do the impossible and the improbable. that all the people crossed over near the city of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by them. See, the thing about ministry is this. All of us, somehow, some way, we can be priests for God. We've got our eyes on Jesus. He's moving us forward. He's taking us to the promised land, whatever that is for any one of us. And what he's doing, he's walking ahead of us. We priests, we're walking behind, but we're going to make sure that other people are following behind us, right? Roles of for all of us as Christians is this, that we don't enter into the promised land alone. There's no fun in that. The fun is, and the excitement is, and the passion we all have as Christians is this, that we help other people pass by on dry ground to go ahead into the promised land first. We're all called by God to be priests of God, to be people that help people find their way and follow the cross. And then as they pass by, we just go ahead, you go right ahead, go on, go across, go ahead, go meet Jesus, go follow him, keep on going. And those priests, as they stood there, they waited there until everyone had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. And I know there are probably a few stragglers, because I've been in ministry long enough to know this, that some people back in the back of the line who have been maybe thinking, well, we've been here 40 years, why don't we just stay here? I like it here. Why would I want something better? I'm used to it. And maybe, you know, maybe Joshua, we don't see what Joshua was doing, or Caleb. I'm sure he's at the back of the pack trying to drag some people forward with him, right? Sometimes ministry is pulling, pushing, kicking, shoving, begging, pleading. Come on with us. And here's the problem with all that. We're going to have to stand here and wait until all of you decide that you want to move into a better life. Into a life that's following Christ, into a life that's full of abundance, into a life that is different than what you have now, but different can be better, can't it? The closer you get to God and the more God, you use God inside of your life and you change and grow and you watch God perform miracles because of your prayers and your faith and your trust, and every time you come up against a new barrier, what do you say to the barrier? I'll go get God right now, and as soon as I get him and pray, he's going to move you out of the way. So you begin to take authority over the things that stand in your way of your spiritual growth, of your growth for loving others, forgiving others, changing and growing, getting rid of the things in your life that need to go. Those are the things that God is going to do with you and for you as you go forward. We have the examples of crossing the Red Sea, crossing the Jordan. Jesus crossed into paradise the day he died. The question is this: what are you waiting for to move your life forward? Will you today follow Christ and make it a commitment to follow Christ every single day? And even if that means you bump in against some barriers, of something gets a little hard, you don't give up on God, but you say to God, hey, if you don't mind, can you move this out of my way, please? It's in the way of my growth. Oh, I'm in the way? Okay. Can you move me out of the way, Lord? And then you get excited and you get motivated and you make a decision, first that you're going to follow Christ, and then you're going to go gather other people so they can follow Christ too. That's what we're called to do, because he is coming back, and he's coming back for his people. But we got to gather the people together, don't we? We don't know if it's 40 years, 4 days, 4 minutes from now. But I know this, there's a lot of people that we need to gather, aren't they? And you may be some of those people today. So my prayer is that we don't have to pull out all the crowbars, tow bars, tow trucks, and 2x4s to kind of get you moving across. How about you just when you're called forward, you decide to go. Or maybe you say, well, wait a minute, I know there's somebody else I got to go get and bring them along. We'll wait. The priest stood in the middle of the dry ground until every last person crossed over. That's what our goal is it not? For all of us to gather people together. And we'll wait as long as it takes for those people to come. And we continue to go looking for them and searching for them. If you're one of them today, are you ready this morning to move from point A to point B with God ahead of you? Are you ready today to say to God, I'm going to follow you, I'm going to keep my eyes on you, and if anything or anybody else gets in my way, I'm going to find you some way, but I'm going to stay in the crosswalk. Stay close to you, because I know I'm safe there, and I know nothing is impossible with you, God, as my leader. So 2021 is coming upon us, as we know. Will there be some obstacles in our way? Will there be some barriers? What I say to that is, so what? I have a God who can knock down any barrier. I have a God that can move any mountain. I have a God that can change the hearts of people. I have a God who can do the impossible. Even if it gets really stormy and I'm almost drowning and I'm up to here in water, I know I have a Savior who will walk on water and pull me up and get me out of that place. Because God is a God who wants to help us, to rescue us, and to bring us to a better place. That's who God is. But I want you to know, if you're going to go alone, you better get some flippers and you better get some whatever those water wings are or something. How about you just do this? How about you just follow the lifeguard, Jesus Christ? I pray this day that the words that we heard this morning from Joshua 2:24, I know that God will give us the land. I know that God will give us prosperity. I know that God will give us eternal life. I know that God will give us unconditional love. I know that God will sustain us, provide for us, help us, and restore us. I know that God will give us a new future filled with love, peace, and joy. I know that. All we have to do is have the faith to step in to that new place and follow God through that. We as leaders in this church, we're kind of like your Levitican priests. We're going to keep holding up the mercy seat. We're going to keep holding up the cross. We're going to keep holding up the name of Jesus for you to see ahead of us and ahead of you where you're to go. Amen. Amen.